is this New Mumford? New Mumford? I heard he came out with an album solo not too long ago. I thought that's maybe what this was from.
No, this is Mumford & Sons. They had the new album. I think a few songs dropped a couple weeks ago, and then the full album finally dropped late last week.
Oh. I got something besides myself to listen to on the ride home. Hopefully
yeah,
I want to.
I like a couple of them. I played
we'll
one a couple weeks ago.
Really? I don't remember that.
I played one of the, one of the new ones.
Maybe I just, I feel like I'm Mumford is probably of all of like current music. I don't know if I'm a bigger fan. I'm a huge Eminem guy. Even I would admit that, you know, the latest Eminem stuff is not as good as the older Eminem stuff. I still think it's very good. People, you know, really crap on Eminem's new stuff, but I think he's still the most talented rapper I've ever heard, and it's not close. But I'm a huge Mumford guy. I've seen them live. So I feel like I don't know. I assumed it wasn't new because I feel like I would have been on top of that information, but I'm slipping.
They did a pop-up show, like at a bar right here.
Really?
Yes, like maybe a month ago.
They came in and did like a thing in the production studio.
Did they
the
really?
Performance studio, yeah, a couple of years ago. They were here.
I wish I was here for
promoting
that.
Whichever, was it Babel or whichever?
It was probably Delta.
Or Delta, whichever album it was, but they were here promoting it, and I watched them perform live here. In the performance studio, it was great, and
yes,
I saw them in Camden, New Jersey. One of the first trips me and my wife ever went on. We went to Philadelphia for the weekend and drove over to Camden for the show. It was nice, and they're awesome. I love Mumford, so I'm looking forward to that. And also, since we're talking about it for a second, might as well do it here. A bunch of people have sent me the Beatles movie news. Now I have to admit, I'm a little nervous and very fascinated by the Beatles movie news. So I don't know if you're aware of this.
I hope it's better than yesterday.
I liked yesterday. It wasn't that bad.
I think the concept was excellent.
It wasn't a great...
Although I loved
I wouldn't
Ed
say
Sheeran
awful. I wouldn't say it was a great... What?
I loved Ed Sheeran in it.
Yes. I thought the movie overall was solid. I agree with you that the concept was better than the ultimate product, but I don't think I would say awful, but that's to each his own. I could understand someone saying awful. But they announced a while back that they were making 4 bio movies with the same actors playing the 4 Beatles. It's one of them is the guy who's playing Ringo is Barry Keoghan, or I forget who it is, but he was the one from that movie where it was very popular about the rich family, and there was that scene where he's like having sex with the dirt on the grave. It was like a very popular movie. I can't think of the name of it right now. But it was like a weird, weird movie that was very popular. Anyway, he's the star. He's playing Ringo. So anyway, the other names I don't even know. But all the actors are the same. But it's 4 different movies, all telling the Beatles story, each movie through the perspective of one of the 4 Beatles. So there's going to be a Paul movie, a George movie, a John movie, and a Ringo movie. And it's kind of going to tell the same story. So there's going to be scenes that are all the same, but each scene is now going to be in each movie through the perspective of the different Beatle. So I found that fascinating. But now here's the news that I'm a little worried about. And I know we're breaking down the Beatles, but hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and this is what I do. This is me. They're going to release all the movies at the same time. Like when I first was told, I thought it was going to be like, the John movie will come out 6 months later. The Paul movie will come out 6 months later. They're going to apparently release all 4 movies in April of 2018 and 28, rather. 18 would be a trick. 2028. So we are 3 years away from all 4 movies being released into the movie theater, theaters only, at the same time. I'm wondering how that concept is going to work. Like, how many people are going to go see a movie on Friday and then relatively a very similar movie just told through a different point of view on Saturday?
No, you like, do the marathon.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the marathon of, like, pulling it off, just taking 8 to 10 hours out of your day and just staying at the movie theater. But, like, you could binge. That's what they're calling it, the first binge. The first bingeable theatrical experience is how it was being quoted.
I have a question for you. Which one do you see first? What's your order?
Well, I'm a Paul McCartney guy.
So you just see the Paul McCartney one first?
It either be first or last, I don't know. But yeah, probably.
I have an issue with saving the best for last.
You're not a big best for last guy?
I am, and it's become an issue in my life. Oh, like, it's become an OCD.
Yeah, I can understand that. I try and do that too myself, unless it's like, I don't know. something where I don't know if I'll be able to make it to the end, or like, you know, for either a food thing or whatever, like, oh, you know, I'll save that for later, and then you end up not getting into it because you ate something else. Like, because I had a buddy, Stephen Ward, I'll never forget this, and his father was in the military, so I'm assuming that's where he got it. But when we would eat over each other's houses and we would have dinner when we were young kids, he would eat one thing at a time. Like, if my mom made, you know, I don't know, let's just say, you know, London broil or steak, veggies, mashed potatoes, he would eat all the mashed potatoes, he would eat all the veggies, and then he would eat all the steak. And it was just like, that's weird.
That's terrible.
That's weird. So, like, if it was like that, then if I save the steak, maybe after I'm eating, but who knows? You know me. I'll eat all of it, right?
No, I have, but I have that issue where I like if I'm eating a steak and I like the cap of the
sure,
steak.
Sure, you that, save that for last. Part,
yeah, I want to save it for last.
Yes.
By the time I get to it, I'm not as hungry.
That's
it. I don't enjoy it as
right.
Much.
My
it's,
point.
It's
yeah.
a problem.
It is. It's. I don't know which movie I would see first. I don't know. The biggest star, and again, I can't remember the movie. You got to search it for me. Do a quick search. His name is Barry...
Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about Saltburn.
Saltburn. That was the name of the movie. Very popular movie. Very weird. He joins this family as kind of like a college friend of one of the college student age kids of this rich family. And he like goes to their house for like a 2-week vacation or something. And he ends up like taking them out one by one. Like it's this crazy story where I don't want to spoil it, but by the end, he never leaves. But he's going to be Ringo. So he's the only name or even person, any of the actors that I know. So I would imagine the Ringo movie might do the best because I think this guy's got a following and he was nominated for an Oscar and everything. And I've never even heard of the other actors. But I mean, I'm a Paul guy. So we'll see. John might be his, you know, probably the most interesting life, I suppose. I don't know. Even though Ringo seems the most boring. I hate to be that guy. I love Ringo. But, you know, Ringo was kind of just, you know. I'll come in. I'll play what you want. I'll leave. Although he was the best actor of the bunch. He was always critically acclaimed for his acting in A Hard Day's Night. And then he had a movie career for a while. But...
Yeah, the guy playing McCartney is he's an Irish actor.
Yeah.
I've never heard of any of these things.
No, I've never heard of any of them. And I think Ringo is I think that guy is also Irish. So we'll see. But sorry to take that 10 minutes, but we were talking about movies. They're releasing all four at the same time. That's very weird. I don't know how well, wouldn't you think one of them is bound to do like terrible? Like what if you don't like the first one? You're not going to go see the other three. I guess that's the same, like, if they're released every year, like Lord of the Rings, right? Which I'm a huge, that's my favorite movie of all time, The Return of the King. Like, it was every year. You saw Fellowship, next year you had to wait for The Two Towers, then you had to wait for Return of the King. Even if you didn't like it, right? A year later, you're like, it's a year later, I'll give it a try. If I see something on Friday, I'm like, I don't know if I love this movie. I'm not going to go see the other two when they're out in the... I'll wait for the DVDs with the other ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems if you don't like the first one, you're not going to go see the other three in the theater. You'll wait for the streaming DVDs. Who am I kidding?
It's such a fascinating concept. Like, all four of them are in each of the four movies.
Correct, yes.
I'm reading it now.
It's just going to be, they're playing, each actor is playing the same Beatle in all four movies. It's just going to be told through their perspective.
Right, and I assume the story is going to follow along the same storyline.
I would imagine there's some of the scenes are going to be the exact same scenes. You're just going to see it through a different character's lens, you know. But, yeah, there'll be a bunch of stuff that's exactly the same.
So why wouldn't you just make that into one movie and just bounce around between the perspectives?
I don't know. I guess they feel there's enough where you could have, you know, four separate movies. It's a Ringo bio, it's a George bio, it's a Paul bio, and a John bio, and sometimes they intersect, and it's the same actors when they do.
And probably it costs the same to make, I would think.
Maybe,
they're not probably that much more.
Yeah, it's probably not. They're probably shooting it,
the same scenes over and over again.
Yeah, interesting. But I think we've spent enough time on it, and I apologize. 888-808-1019, let's get back to the calls. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, C-Mac? I love everything.
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I don't know much about the movies you are talking about, but
I know.
I think a Netflix series would be much better.
I hear you. I'm surprised four movies being released at the same time as a binge, the first theatrical binge experience. I don't know. As interesting as that sounds, I don't know if people are going to go binge things at the movie theater.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. At home, yes. But
yeah, sure.
But anyways, you know, I wanted to touch base on about the Yankees, about the torpedo bats. So I played baseball all my life. I never even knew this was legal, but if it is, great, whatever. But I just want to point something out. I'm not sure if you got a chance to watch the games this weekend. Michael Kay was the reason why this got blown up like that.
Yeah,
he was the one that's like, oh, the Yankees are using torpedo bats. If he had not said anything, we would not be having this conversation. Right?
Maybe not. maybe not. I think someone probably would have picked up on it, but you're not wrong. The Yankees, the Yes Network, and obviously Michael Kay decided to make it a talking point. There's no doubt. It would not have been as big a talking point if not. And then also there's the clip. They're talking about it while Anthony Volpe's up, and then Anthony Volpe hits a home run while they're talking about it. So, yes, because the proof of that, your point, has a legitimate proof to it. The proof that you could look at is it's been used before. Giancarlo Stanton used it in last year's postseason. And I think during times of the regular season. And if you remember, there was a story 2 or 3 weeks ago that some circles around the Yankees were blaming Stanton's injury on using a new bat from a member of the Yankees that's not there. And I remember everybody for some reason was blaming Verdugo. I don't know why, because he's one of the few Yankees who didn't return. I have no idea. But that was the story, and then I saw a bunch of, you know, speculation that it was Verdugo. But clearly, what's his name? What they call him, Lenny? The MIT guy is no longer with the Yankees. Again, that story hasn't been, as far as I have seen, nobody's revisited that story and said, yes, the bat we were talking about that could be the reason for Stanton's injury was the torpedo bat, but it is out there that Stanton was using it last year. So, I mean, you're putting two to two together. They're saying the torpedo bat is the cause for his elbow issues. Now, I don't know how the hell that could be possible, but that's the proof. The proof is Stanton was using it and no one talked about it. Other teams are using it. Lindor's using it. I mean, bat companies are literally promoting it. This is what's funny. Like, if you were a Met guy, and I got so many, and when I did my open yesterday about all the haters, I didn't even specifically say Met fans. I just said Yankee haters. You want to make the assumption that I'm talking to Met fans, that's on you. I just said Yankee haters, and clearly it's throughout all of baseball, not just the Met fan. And that was my point. They're still the evil empire. It's the Red Sox fan, right? Dave Portnoy wearing wearing a Red Sox hat complaining about it. It wasn't just Met fans. It was all Yankee haters. But Met fans in particular who hit me up all day long on social media and Twitter saying, ha, 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 the Yankees lose Juan Soto and they have to cheat to get offense, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, meanwhile, Lindor is not only using the bat, used it last year, used it this year, and I saw Rami's tweet. Bat companies are promoting the new torpedo bat that they're trying to sell using Lindor in the promo. I mean, what was it? Marucci Bat Company, right? I forgot which company it was. Marucci Bat Company is making a torpedo bat, and Lindor is the spokesperson for it. And Met fans are killing the Yankees for using it. Lindor is the face of Torpedo Marucci. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is patently ridiculous. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
You know, Chris, it's almost as if, you know, let's say in football,
mm-hmm.
The NFL decided to promote a rule, pick a rule, any rule or whatever, to promote, you know, some defense instead of offense in a way. And then it benefited like a team that everyone, you know, loves to hate. I mean, you pick pick whatever team. I have never heard anybody talk about bats so much.
Yeah.
Unless they were talking about Dracula, okay? Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. And I, you know, when Michael Caine, I was watching, I finally got to watch a game in real time. And they're talking about it. And the first thing I said was that the only way they could be talking about this is if baseball was guiding them every inch of the way. No way that all of a sudden they were using something. They were using
100%.
A piece of equipment that wasn't regulation.
100%.
Surprise, surprise.
You know, 100%. Michael Caine gets that story from the Yankees, talking to Yankee players, talking to the Yankees about the bat. Like, he didn't just notice it himself. And, like, he asked, he wouldn't have went out on there without having some clarification from the New York Yankees. And if the Yankees were talking to Michael Caine about it, knowing he could use it in a broadcast, like, there's zero chance that Michael Caine would go with that story if the New York Yankees weren't 100% sure that that bat is legal and that it's being used widespread. That the MIT guy who made the bat isn't even with the Yankees anymore. Like, they're well aware that this is not some sort of hidden cheating code, and it's well above board, and Major League Baseball's already made a ruling on the bats. Otherwise, Michael Caine would have never said anything.
Right, and now check this out. Go look in one of the articles that I read. Look who they're quoting, A.J. Hinch. He's like, well, like, if anybody knows about cheating, baby,
you're
ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, and again, someone tried to compare it to that. That's ridiculous. And your point is exactly the best one. Like, if this was the same thing, like, can you, if batting with this bat is the same thing as cheating the way the Astros did, can you imagine the Astros broadcast going, like, you know, now if you hear those bangs during the broadcast, that's because the Astro guys on the bench are banging a garbage can after watching a replay or a direct feed of a screen inside the dugout of the catcher's signs. So that's the Alex Cora and the rest of the dugout signaling to the hitter what pitch is coming. Now, that's a new technology, Steve. I don't know if you're aware of that. Like, that's what it would be like. This is not hidden. The Yankees are doing this in plain sight. Everybody's doing it. Good for the Yankees to use it more than other teams and be successful with it, if that's even the case. Like, we have no idea what these bats actually mean to the offense. It's 3 days. I know they hit a ton of home runs. I get it. That's not proof that these bats are the difference. It really isn't. And considering 4 of the 15 came from Judge, who's not using the bat, I mean, it's just so stupid. It is. It's just, the whole thing is so ridiculous. Everybody's using it. Now, the Yankees have made it famous. That's all. King George, what's up, King George?
Hey, what's up? And live long and prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go off too far, but a Beatle movie you have to see is called Backbeat. It deals with Pete Best and Stu Sutcliffe.
And their early relationship in the art school and then going to Hamburg, Germany.
Yeah, that's one you got to see. But bats, you know, this there's a difference in our age. You know those bats with the hollow hole in the top?
Yes.
When I was younger, they were called Japanese bats, and they wanted to outlaw those. You know, these things come in cycles.
Sure. No, absolutely. The bat's forever changing. The kind of wood, and thank you for the call. I'm up against it, George. The kind of wood they use, the thickness of the handle, the size or thickness of the knob. Like, every bats change consistently all the time, designed to personal aspects and personal preference all over the place. And yeah, like, they were talking about that, Hal, out on the broadcast today with Keith. And he's like, yeah, you wanted to limit the amount of wood at the very tip of the bat because you don't want to hit it there anyway, and you want to condense the wood down. Like, this is the same thing. And Major League Baseball is well aware of it. It's well within the rules. Hopefully this will be it. Like, you know, if the Yankees continue to hit, maybe it'll continue to be a story. And we've seen Elly De La Cruz have a big day with 2 home runs and 7 RBIs with it. But, Like, it's just, it's a non-story that I can tell, like, we did, I can just tell this is what you guys want to talk about. Like, it's one of those topics that, for whatever reason, like, I did the Mets and Pete Alonso, and I know I'm the Yankee fan, so Met fans, you know, can be a little, like, you know, but we want to talk about the bats. I don't know why. I really think it's a, I mean, we need to get back to Yankee baseball and have them, you know, score some runs here against the Arizona Diamondbacks and just get back to the games, because this is now being silly.
Or ideally, they win 2-1 every game.
Right, that'd be nice.
And then you don't have to talk about the bats because they stopped hitting.
Yep. But we'll see. I would like to talk about, how about, you know, and I saw Joel Sherman put this out. Forget talking about the bats. I know we saw that 2,500 games, regular season victories for Brian Cashman. All hail the king. Congratulations to the great Brian Cashman on his 2,500 regular season wins. How about getting Cody Bellinger for Cody Petit? Like, you know what? We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to give him credit. We're going to blame him. Oh, well, they were trying to give him away. Well, we'll always find excuses for the good trades. And as soon as I say this, I know there's a Yankee fan right now going, yeah, but what about, oh, he traded for Frankie Montas and all the other trades. Fine. Right now, how good does Cody Bellinger look? Like, it's three games. I get it. Look how smooth he looks in the outfield. They can move him from center to left. We saw him play an excellent first base as well in spring training. He has three sacrifice flies. He puts good at-bats together. He's shown power. Like, right now, tell me that doesn't look like a guy who's going to be so impactful for this team this year. I know it was a salary dump. I know they took on $25 million, but for what he's provided, doesn't seem like all that much. And they gave up Cody Petit, who the Cubs designated for assignment. How about that? How about that, bro? That's a pretty good trade. It's a pretty good trade. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, we'll come back and do a little Jets. I'll still take your calls on the bats. I'll still take your calls on baseball. It is baseball season. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Jets, some of the things the owner said, some of the things that the coach said and the way he said it. And, of course, more issues with this owner and the culture. And 170 employees who might find out exactly what the culture is of the New York Jets. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come right back. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Jets as we are getting closer and closer to April 24th in the NFL draft. And today was the league meeting, owner and coach and whatever it is, league meetings today. And obviously everyone spoke. And we're waiting. You know, the Giants are playing the game. I wouldn't read too much into it, what the Giants had to say. I read an article from Dan Duggan at The Athletic, and Joe Shane is, you know, right now being cryptic and leaning towards, or at least sounding like he's leaning towards, not taking a quarterback number three. Even if he's there. If Shador Sanders is there, still not taking him. As, you know, that's what it sounds like. But again, as Dan Duggan pointed out, this is lying time. And last year, he said the same thing about wide receivers in the first round. Poo-pooed the idea of the how, you know, there's a lot of positions. I don't know. You'd have to really be great to, you know, justify being picked that top. And that's what he's saying right now about the quarterback position. But ultimately, that's really the only decision. We can get into what the Giants are going to do. You know, they have a top pick. I think they should take a quarterback. We'll see. There's two other great players at the top of the draft. And we'll see what they do. But the Jets are obviously in a different spot, drafting seventh. Maybe a quarterback falls to them. They could use a lot of players. But what I'm going to take from this and what I want to talk about is mainly the owner. Because I told you how I felt about this owner. And the idea that so many of you, I know certainly the Midday Show and Evan, we're big on the idea of the stories coming out last year and this offseason about what a disaster it's being run, and his sons are too heavily involved, and nixing trades based on Madden rankings and walking into the locker room and yelling that the team's quarterback sucks within earshot of him and everything else, and how just an absolute crap show that this Jet franchise has been. And this owner has been. And there was some optimism about the story that, you know, I know the Jets publicly said, well, I got to do better. I'll learn and I'll do better. I had zero confidence, zero, that this owner would learn from anything I don't believe it. And clearly, to me, what he said today or yesterday now speaks to that. When asked about being the only owner in the NFL in the player rankings, where they get asked a myriad of questions about the organization that they work for, the only owner to receive an F in that player voting was Woody Johnson. He got an F. And a person who would learn from that, and a person who's determined to do better, would not answer that when asked about it yesterday by calling it total BS. Total BS. And I heard Evan talking about this, and he's 100% right. This is not a news story. This is not speculation of what happened behind the scenes. This is an honest-to-God vote. Oh, well, it's the way they go about it. It makes no sense. And blah. Your team voted you an F, bro. You are widely considered. Your team hasn't made the playoffs in however many years. It's the longest drought in professional sports. The stories were all over the place at the end of last year. And you are widely considered one of, if not the worst owner in professional sports. Whether that's fair or not, you are widely considered as such. And when your team votes you an F, to poo-poo it and say it's absolute crap is ridiculous. When everything else that's come out and all of the failures that this organization has had, to call it a BS tells me again, this guy believes he is the reason for any success in this organization and believes everyone else is a failure. To the point now where under the guise of changing the culture in the organization, 170 employees of the New York Jets have been offered a buyout because there's going to be widespread change inside the organization. Now, I don't know if that's warranted or not. 170 sounds like a lot, but under this culture change led by the hiring of Aaron Glenn, who's Mr. Culture Builder, they are offering buyout packages, which I guess is, you know, something. It's fair. It's better than just firing them. But I would think layoffs are coming. And he was asked whether or not layoffs would be coming if not enough of these employees take said package. And that's what's coming. They're firing a lot of people. He does not believe, and that's fine. That's what businesses do. And God knows the Jets haven't been successful enough to be outraged when people are let go. But, I mean, it sucks. 170 sounds like a lot. But this guy doesn't get it, man. I'm telling you, look at everything he does. Like, why was he so mad that he fired the head coach? I promise you, the reason he fired Robert Saleh last year is because he believed he built a winning team. That he built it. That he brought in Aaron Rodgers. He put this team together. He offered the money. He helped with this. He helped with that. And he, and I guess maybe a little bit of Joe Douglas, put together a world-class team that everybody, and remember the quotes at the end of the season? He sounded like Donald Trump. A lot of people were telling me that it's the greatest. You know, a lot of people telling me I should run for a third term. A lot of people were telling me that this team was good enough to make it to the Super Bowl. A lot of people. Because he believes he put together a winning team, that he is the head of a winning franchise, and the coach was getting in the way. Or Aaron Rodgers was getting in the way if he wanted him benched after the Denver game. Like, this is, he believes he is doing an amazing job, and he is a victim of circumstance and poor hires maybe and some other things. And that proof is right there when his players are telling him, we're not happy with your performance. It's BS. And I'm sorry, the New York Jets are going no. It's just hard to. And I know Fliegelman is on my guy Fliegelman, the usual producer here, obviously the producer of the show, who's on vacation in Miami. I know he claims he's never going to root for the Jets again until Woody Johnson leaves. That's a tough thing to promise. We'll see. I'm going to try and hold him. That's my promise to you. As host of this show, I'm going to hold my producer accountable to see if he is actually going to follow through with that statement. But it's hard to think this organization is going anywhere with this man at the owner. And now let's get to the coach, because that's obvious. I mean, that's just absolute garbage. And the idea that he, you know, is poo-pooing that or not having some real deep perspective and self-evaluation when he is the only owner. He could say it's BS all he wants. He could say the way they go about collecting the information is BS. Anything he wants. He's the one who got the F. And if that doesn't scream to him the same thing all the articles scream to him, apparently, about needing to change, then nothing will. And then let's get to the coach, because I want to play some audio. I have no doubt that Aaron Glenn can coach. I have no doubt. And I really have no doubt that Aaron Glenn can be a leader of men. I'm not saying it's a bad hire. I wouldn't have made the hire. I would have went elsewhere. I would have tried to bring in. Now look, Pete Carroll didn't want to come. Mike McCarthy might not have wanted. I don't know all the circumstances. But I would not have hired Aaron Glenn. I would have wanted someone with a little bit more history as a head coach, a little more experience. But having said that, I have full expectation of him being, first of all, absolutely worthy of the job. The resume is without question good enough to earn a head coaching opportunity. And I'm sure he's going to be a very good leader and a very good X's and O guy. But I have a real concern about how he talks to the media. Because he was brought in here not only because of his culture building ability and, you know, what he does on the field and the Lions defense last year and all that. He was brought here a lot because he knows the team. He knows the organization. He knows what it takes to lead this franchise. He was here when it was windy in the second half of the 1998 AFC Championship game against the Denver Broncos. He was there for it. He knows what it smelled like. He felt the wind. He remembers the kickoff. He remembers all this stuff. And he's supposed to know what's going on with this franchise and be perfectly designed for this job in particular. And I got to tell you, the opening press conference did a great job. But since then, whether it's at the combine or earlier yesterday at these meetings, he is so combative and sounding so angry. And I'm sorry, it's fine. I understand he wants to say what he wants to say, and we're seeing that in the reports like of how it's being reported. I was reading the story in The Athletic that, hey, he knows what he wants to say. He doesn't want to, you know, divert from that. He's, you know, if you ask a second question or someone sends a repeat question at him, he lets them know, hey, I've already been asked that. Like, he is, it just feels like, and as long as, and we've seen this before with coaches, and that's fine. As long as you win, who gives a damn? But before the season even starts, before his career as the Jets head coach really begins, before games are played, like, it just feels like he walks into these things adversarial to the media. And I'm not sure why. And so I'm going to play a couple cuts. I've seen one or two clips online. I know Marco was just going through it. And, like, I'm just curious, like, because we all know the Jets are the Jets right now. Right? They're the longest playoff drought in professional sports. You know, he's going to have to be asked about, he's going to be asked incessantly about the quarterback situation right now. And they're kind of going, at least right now, they're penciling in Fields as the starting quarterback, which I'm sure it's going to be ink really soon. But he's asked a handful of questions, and it just feels like, you know, he wants to have this, like, adversarial relationship with the media.
Getting him was critical for us to continue to build this defense.
How do you feel like he fits in with your defense?
We wouldn't have signed him if I didn't think he would fit in.
No, I said how? How do you think he
fits in? He fits in very well. We wouldn't have signed him if I didn't think he could fit in.
Do you think Jordan Travis will be ready to go for OTAs, and what are your plans for him?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you that.
What are your plans for him this year?
If he's ready to play, he's going to compete.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously haven't seen him because of his college injury. How much do you know about him through the scouting process? And,
well, from his days in college, I think he was a pretty damn good player, you know. So, once he gets a chance to be clear to go ready to get ready to compete, he'll compete. Well, I wasn't here last year, so I don't care. I know right now, I mean, to have a lot of good conversation. That's all I care about.
He seems like he's in a good place when you talk to him.
Yeah, he's in a good place. So, I mean, I don't care what happened last year.
All right, there's some laughing at the end of some of those clips, but yeah, it just feels like well, what about, I wasn't here last year, or I'm not a doctor. And, like, I get it. And, again, all that matters is what happens on the field, and I think you'd be a really good head coach. But, like, I just wish, like, because it's just, it's one of those things that easily becomes a problem if they don't get off to a good start. And I don't know about this team just yet, right? And I don't know about Fields, and I don't know where they are. And this team, you know, I could just see it being a rough start, and he doesn't have to take this tact. Now, if it's who he is and it's authentic, then it's authentic. And all that will matter is he's having the team prepared to play, and I have no doubt that he will do that. And I'm looking forward, and I'm optimistic about this team, but I don't know why it feels that way. Maybe it's just me. It just feels like he sits down, and again, the opening press conference, great, was fine. But at the combine, and then now yesterday, it just feels like he's short with them. But again, he doesn't, I think he understands that he doesn't want to go down the road, say something that has to lead him to say something else. He wants to make sure he wants to say what he wants to say. And that's what Zach Rosenblatt of the Athletic was saying, that he, you know, he knows what he wants to say and he doesn't divert from it. So we'll see. I could just see it being, you know, you don't have to be Rex. You don't have to be so glib. You don't have to be, you know, a barrel of laughs all the time. I get it. It's the NFL. And we've seen Bill Belichick. God knows Bill Belichick has been this way. Parcells was a little bit glib, but he was certainly not above being like this in any given press conference. Like, we've seen coaches be like this throughout the years. It doesn't mean he can't be successful here. I'm not saying that, but I don't know. You know, it just feels like, hey, just take a breath. They know you're not a doctor. You know, like,
it feels so intentionally anti-Robert Saleh. Like, oh, maybe, I'm different because he was buddy-buddy with you guys. And so now, you know how that always happens. The pendulum swings to the opposite side. The next coach is always going to be the exact opposite. Now he feels like, but it feels like he's playing into it. Like, I have to be combative because I can't be that.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe. But it just feels that way. It feels like he sits down and it's like, all right, well, we want to accomplish different things, you and I. So we're going to, like, I'm going to make sure I accomplish what I accomplish. Like, and we'll see. See how it goes. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Woody Johnson should be with that woman in the Bellevue Hospital that killed three people on Saturday.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's just say.
But first, man, this guy has no concept of reality, and he has no concept of what it means to be an owner and be responsible.
No, I mean...
Really?
Yeah, I'm very confused by his...
I mean, how long has this been going on?
Forever, since his tenure started.
Since he started. And the Jets, when he started, the Jets were at least a respectable organization. Hess...
Yeah, I mean, listen, they won some games early on. Like, obviously, hiring Rex and getting them to back-to-back AFC championship games is kind of the golden era of the team outside of 1969. So,
After Rex was gone,
yeah, and particularly, and thank you for the call, Stu, and particularly since he came back from London. The team is actually, you know, since then he's been more hands-on than he was before. He's come back and really taken over. And I think he feels like he built that team and the coach was the reason it failed. And he expects success because he was so integral in building the team. And that's why he's yelling. That's why he, you know, his sons are making decisions. And that's why now they need this culture purge or whatever. Like, I don't know. The organization is just such a freaking mess. We'll see what they do at the draft with seven. There's a bunch of different options, wide receivers. They could go in a myriad of different ways. They have a bunch of different holes. If Shedeur Sanders falls, and I was just watching Matt Hasselbeck, and add him to the list of guys. And again, this player isn't terrible, and he was highly thought of when he got entered into the league. But I just watched Matt Hasselbeck compare Shedeur Sanders to Andy Dalton. That's the comp, Andy Dalton. Again, Andy Dalton took over the Bengals, went to the playoffs a bunch, but you're not looking to draft Andy Dalton third overall.
If Andy Dalton played on those Giants teams that won the Super Bowl, he probably wins the Super Bowl.
Maybe. I mean, I mean, I don't think he's as good as Eli.
His career wasn't as good.
No.
Sure. But is he as talented a player?
No, I still wouldn't say that. I still would think Eli's better. More talented.
And he was a really good quarterback.
He was a really good quarterback. And he was how, what
he's
was he drafted?
Better than anything they've had, you know.
Oh, no doubt. No, of course. Yes, that's the best quarterback they've had since Eli. Out of TCU, what year was he drafted? And what pick was he again?
35th overall in 2011.
35th overall in 2011. So he's a second day guy. That's not what you want to draft third. I still think they will. I don't think they believe what Matt Hasselbeck believes. I think they think he's better than that, and we'll see what they do. But I do think that they will draft the quarterback. And listen, I don't know what they'll do. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't know what they do. I don't know how they feel about these quarterbacks. I don't know if they feel they can get one in the second round. To me, you have to get one in the first 2 days. I want one in the as the third overall pick. Absolutely, that's what I want. I want them to figure out a way to either trade up and get the quarterback they want. As, you know, the Browns now, who know, you know, the Browns, I think the Browns might be hesitant if they're not sold on Sanders because, you know, Haslam just came out and apologized for the situation. We took a big swing and a miss on Watson. And we're trying to dig our way out of it, and we're sorry. We got to find the future quarterback of our franchise. He just talked about a swing and miss. I don't know if they feel like taking another swing and miss, but I don't know. I would love to get Cam Ward. I still believe in Sanders as well. But to me, I won't be pissed unless they do not draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, preferably the first round. The Jets can go a bunch of different places, but I don't buy anything a GM says at this point. Not a damn thing. When it comes to the draft and what they're looking for, he could be downplaying quarterbacks for the specific reason of not making other teams think they don't need to jump him and go at number two. Like, I have no idea. We'll see what they do, but I need a quarterback in the first two rounds from the Giants, and we'll see what the Jets do as well. But right now, their owner just feels like he's holding them back. 888-808-1019.
There were four quarterbacks taken ahead.
There were four quarterbacks taken ahead in 2011.
You want to guess?
No, I can't. 2011, Andy Dalton. I'm trying to think of people at that.
It's always the same franchises drafting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. It's a fair point. Yeah, it's a fair point.
Tennessee, Jacksonville. I mean, Carolina.
Carolina. 2011. Oh, Cam Ward, number one?
Cam Newton. That's fine.
First
overall.
Cam Ward. Cam Newton. First overall, that was that same draft. Cam Newton.
Which I would have guessed that Andy Dalton was earlier than Cam Newton. I don't know.
I would have thought so, too, yeah. I would have thought so, too.
But the other three were taken ahead of him. Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, and Christian Ponder.
He was better than every one of them.
Correct.
Second best quarterback in that draft. Unless someone got taken later.
No one good. I mean, Tyrod Taylor was taken in that draft.
Okay. No, I would still... Andy Dalton had the better career.
Correct. And Colin Kaepernick. He went to a Super Bowl.
Colin Kaepernick.
He was taken the very next pick, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he did go to a Super Bowl. Dalton's probably had the better career, but he did take
it. I would think Dalton, because his career was
so short. But he did take a 49ers team to the Super Bowl and played, you know, unbelievably well in the playoffs. Ran all over the Green Bay Packers. 888-808-1019. We'll have a quick break. We'll come back, talk baseball again. I want to talk about the great manager that is out in Boston and the situation going on there. And everybody loves Alex Cora, and he can do no wrong, and he just manages circles around Aaron Boone. Well, he's got a little problem on his hands that maybe he helped create. We'll get into that as well as get back to the Mets, Pete Alonso's big home run. And you guys love talking about bats all of a sudden, so we'll continue to take your calls on the Torpedoes. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1 hour left as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.